Yo, what's up, everybody? Just wanted to let you know that there's about 14 minutes of bad audio in this one. We had a little bit of a meltdown, so we had to sub in some Skype audio over mic audio for about 12 or 14 minutes, but then it goes back to normal and everything's good. All right, peace. Enjoy the case file.
Jeffrey Epstein's life seemed like a storybook American dream. Born in Brooklyn, New York, in 1953, Epstein seemed to get by with an uncanny head for numbers. He was a college dropout at New York University, but landed a job teaching math at the prestigious Dalton School in New York's Upper East Side. Epstein's rise to untold riches came during the 1980s economic boom. He was able to make millions by managing investments for mega-rich clientele. In 2008, Epstein managed to cut a sweetheart deal with prosecutors when served with a 53-page federal indictment alleging he had spent years preying on underage girls in a seedy, high-profile sex ring operation. At this time, no one is quite sure when Epstein's taste shifted to the perverse, and now, perhaps we'll never know. While in custody awaiting a federal trial for charges of sex trafficking, Jeffrey Epstein apparently ended his own life. With so many questions left unanswered about the case, and so many connections to the rich and powerful, you can bet it will be years before the dust settles, and the public can get a glimpse of what really happened. This case file joined the theorists as they put together the pieces of a dark and twisted puzzle in the death of Jeffrey Epstein.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing Case File 106, the mysterious life and death of Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Dan.
Oh, fucked up the flow. That
fucked
my
up
bad.
The flow. You guys fucked up the flow.
Andrew, you know you're last.
I'm sorry.
Know your role.
Sorry. How bad? How hard was it
for you? Everyone's talked, and then you talk.
How hard was it for you to say... Not to say case file 106, pick up sticks.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Oh, really? That's all I could think of.
Yeah. I could have said Diddlin sticks.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you talk about Diddlin?
A little more fitting.
Unfortunately, we
feel like this topic has been
kind of have to.
Yeah. So, if you haven't been following the news recently, Jeffrey Epstein was rearrested for a sex trafficking. Then a couple weeks later, he was discovered unconscious, in his cell in an apparent suicide attempt. And then to, I think, absolutely no one's fucking surprise at all,
boom,
he's now dead.
He gone.
I think of just about everyone following this case called that.
Yeah, it was,
I think everyone said this guy knows too much to stay in the land of the living.
The internet quickly shifted from Raid Area 51 to who's connected to Jeffrey Epstein, like, overnight. Area 51.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You hear they're, like, kind of attributing it to overworked guards. Like, it's slipping by them. Like
overtime. Too much overtime.
Too much OT.
Overtime.
Which is so...
Well, somebody said, like, oh, no, it was, like, these are really good adjective for it. It was, like, blistering overtime or something. It was ridiculous. It's just really excessive overtime or something like
so,
that.
Yeah, this was his fifth overtime shift in a row. Okay, that doesn't mean shit. He could have only worked a half an hour.
Overtime
the last 5 days. Like every day.
I don't know.
Worked through half his lunch.
It's so anticlimactic though, because I'm like, in my brain, I'm thinking like, after he tried to kill himself the first time, I'm picturing like, Magneto's jail cell in X-Men 2. You know what I mean? Like, they've got to fucking like smuggle in some way of fucking killing this guy. Like somebody comes to visit him with a bunch of fucking shoestrings up his ass or something. You know what I mean? Like something fucking fancy, but
yeah. Pulled it out of his mouth. Just like, it's like a magician's thing, you know, it just like comes out of his mouth.
Right. Like, and then that's just, I don't know, super disappointing, but it's not at the same time because he's dead and he's a piece of shit and he should be dead.
He should have gone a different way, you know, after it all.
He should have taken some people with him.
Yeah.
Unless it's already out and he just had nothing left to lose. Just why rot away in prison when it's like it's already out there? You know everything's going to come out. So
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know, because you'd think like, I don't want to, no spoilers or anything like that. But you know, if it was anything like his first fucking, you know, stint in prison, it really wouldn't be that bad. But
yeah, that's true. Okay, before we get too into it, I think we should take it back to who is like, why is this Jeffrey Epstein guy? Like, there's tons of pedophiles all over the world. Why is this one worth global attention?
Well, I can bring it back to kind of where it started. Give you a little background on the guy himself, because I absolutely had no fucking clue about this guy other than, you know, we kind of touched on him. We kind of touched on him on the Pizzagate a little bit, but not much. So I had to do a little bit of background digging on this guy and kind of why, like, why was he in the position that he's in? Why was he so fucking rich and all that kind of stuff? And also, yeah, that's about it. So here, there's a little rundown.
All right, yep.
Epstein was born on January 20th, 1953. He was raised in Brooklyn, New York. In his early 20s, he taught physics and math at Manhattan's elite K-12 Dalton School.
Ooh.
How pretentious does that sound? The Dalton School. He's been teaching at the Dalton School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a proud parent of a Dalton child.
They got those fucking stickers for sure.
To be fair, it was a pretty progressive school, and it did have very high power clientele.
Mm-hmm. Oh, listen quite to right, fucking hey? Mr. Dalton over
Mr.
here.
Mr. fucking Maester.
Maester Dalton.
Maester Dalton.
So while he was teaching at the school, he reportedly tutored Bear Stearns chairman Ace Greenberg's son.
Now, what company is Bear Stearns? What did they do? This finance company?
Dan?
Oh, you're looking at me, Bear Stearns?
I'm looking at
pretty
anyone.
Sure they were a trading. They were like a stock.
Yeah, it's like, isn't it a, like an investment bank?
Yeah, investment banking.
Sounds right.
Quick search. They're like, is a New York-based global investment bank, securities trading, and brokerage firm.
Right, so big finance, top-end finance dude. Yeah.
And so on my first read through this, it basically, the write-up I read said that while he was at this firm, he did really well, rose to fame and power really, really quick. He was made a limited partner and then just randomly decided to leave in 1981 and start his own firm. Later, I was able to find out that he actually left Bear Stearns on not the best terms. It was kind of due to some policy violations, and it's all kind of unclear, but sounds like there's some shady shit going on, and you know, he was behind it.
Right.
So anyways, he left. In 1982, he set up J. Epstein & Co. And then like, it was almost like overnight, the guy was a billionaire.
Just trading everyone's money, making bank.
There was a real crazy stipulation about being able to hire like Jeffrey Epstein and co. Like you had to have, it was like $1 billion at least.
$1 billion?
Yeah. If you didn't have assets that totaled like $1 billion or more, they wouldn't work with you.
And like the crazy,
like they would send a letter. Like he wouldn't trade to anybody. It's like if it were $500 million, they would send you a letter saying no, fuck you. Like, fuck off.
And, like, it's crazy, too, because with these, like, high stipulations, it's, like, the only on-record person he had that he worked with was Les Wexner.
Right. It's the only person publicly that, like, he publicly has been able to, like, confirm was a client of his.
Yeah. And, like, and still, this is, like, super shrouded in mystery, right? Like, I was reading that Vanity Fair, the New Yorker magazine, and somebody was saying that it's my belief that Jeff maintained some sort of money management firm, though you won't get a straight answer from him. He once told me that he had 300 people working for him, and also I heard that he manages Rockefeller money, but no one ever knows. It's like looking at the Wizard of Oz.
Who said that?
They didn't leave his name. He's just a well-known money management person.
Behind the scenes quote.
Yeah. So basically, like, no one's really exactly sure how Epstein made his money at this time. But he began to, like, spend on the international scale and was known for like doing massive donations to set up a foundation and Harvard. He was also the owner of the largest private residence in Manhattan and the entire he had an entire island. It was called the Island of Little St. James in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Two private islands.
Jesus.
Yeah, two private islands. In addition to the largest piece of property in Manhattan, or that private residence. He had two private islands, a 100,000 acre ranch in New Mexico, a multi-million dollar home in Palm Beach, and then I believe there's also a home in Paris.
It's crazy,
man. That's fucking bananas.
So now he's you know, getting all this wealth and all this power, and he's making all these donations, looking like the billionaire playboy philanthropist, steal it from fucking Iron Man. he also emerged as kind of a, you know what? Let's back up a little bit. The worst part about this fucking thing is I was doing research on him and I was reading his Wikipedia and it's like, Jeffrey Epstein, philanthropist, money management guy, and convicted sex offender. It's like, that should fucking come first. You know what I mean? Like, right. Once you're a convicted sex offender, that should be the first fucking thing that comes up on your name.
The rest of it should just... It's gone.
No, you're not.
It's over.
You're not Iron Man. You're a diddler. And it should be announced to everybody first and foremost. So anyway, sorry to digress. Yeah. He became a collector of famous and powerful friends. He was well known for footing a trip to Africa with President Bill Clinton, Kevin Spacey, and I forgot his name again. The Rush Hour.
Chris Tucker.
This wasn't the only.
No, not Rush Hour. The Fifth Element.
Oh, and he's in Rush Hour, though. Let's remember
him from Fifth Element.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
My bad.
Ruby Rod.
My bad.
Right.
So this wasn't the only incident of him getting friendly with Clinton. The former president reportedly took several flights on his private plane between 2002 and 2003. And I guess Gawker has obtained all his flight records, and he's been shown to have been on this plane at least 11 times. And he's not the only president that old Jeffy boy here is befriended. He was a good friend of the Donald. And
Donald.
This is probably my favorite quote from the entire researching, the best quote I've heard from anybody about Jeff. Jeff told Time Magazine, Jeffrey, terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them on the younger side. That's a direct fucking quote.
It's according to Trump's lawyers,
they have no relationship and they don't really talk to each other.
Well, but that's like I would honestly if
that's what they said.
If Trumpy knew he was diddling, you know what I mean? If like, do you think he would say that to Time Magazine? You know what I mean? Like, that makes me feel like old Jeffy might have kind of like planted him in that situation with some girls that he might not have known.
But the thing is, at least one of the indictments, the information came forward that the one girl who came forward to accuse him of the crimes that were that they admitted to, she was working at Mar-a-Lago before she met Epstein.
So she already had ties to Trump.
Yeah.
So that's basically all I have as far as his background.
That's the background.
That's the background. So basically where we leave off, all we know is this guy is some mysterious billionaire, you know what I mean, that's taken high-ranking officials and famous people on flights to his cool, private, secluded island, living in his giant billion-dollar house in Manhattan.
How much was the value of his house in Manhattan? Did they say in the end? Like $100 million or something?
Something like $20 million. Or he got it from... Well, reports are strange about this. They're saying that because that property, that residence, was originally owned by Wexner. And then... he purchased it from Wexner, and some people are saying it's for his like 16 to 20 million. And then some people are saying that he purchased it for $1 because he had been, he was managing Wexner's account. So Wexner had given him power of attorney at this point. Like they were still close when he obtained that residence. Wow. And if you don't know who Wexner is, like Wexner is the guy who runs L Brands, which is the parent company of like Victoria's Secret and The Limited. That's the guy who runs that, Leslie Wexner.
Crazy.
Yeah. Dude's worth a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But Wexner was one of his, I think one of his kind of first clients, or one of his, and some people describe him as sort of like a mentor, and they became so close that, yeah, like I mentioned, he ended up giving Jeffrey Epstein power of attorney and allowing him to basically make deals, sell property, move funds, do anything that Wexner could do personally.
That's just,
and some people kind of root that back to, I guess Wexner was doing some kind of property development in Ohio or something, or Indiana, I can't remember. And basically it was like a real shit show. And then Epstein came in, under the recommendation of, I think, Bear Stearns firm and all that. And he cleaned it all up and he got it all kind of on track. And they ended up setting up this multi-million dollar residential area with like a giant like Jack Nicklaus golf course with all these like multi-million dollar homes all around it.
So pretty much Jeff Epstein is just a billionaire who can do whatever he wants at this point. By about the early 2000s, he's pretty much God among finance, right?
From what people have said about him, he was really good at what he did. He was
well, yeah, no one gets $1 billion by, like, you gotta know something.
Yeah, the dude was smart. Like, he's not, I mean, he was also, you could almost call him reclusive. Like, he didn't really like to go out and do, like,
he likes
stuff.
To order in.
Order in. No. So, nothing, there's like no criminal allegations against him until 2005, right?
Nothing hard until 2007.
2007
was when he had was facing down a 53 page federal indictment for allegations against him.
Okay. I thought the girl came forward in 2005, but either way,
I think she came forward, but nothing materialized.
Yeah. Until 2000. So not like early 2000s is when all this stuff is alleged to happen. And then what happened? Yeah. 2007 comes.
Well, 2008, he hired Alan Dershowitz, who is the guy who is the O.J. Simpson.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, didn't he help out with Clinton and the whole Monica Lewinsky situation, too?
I don't know
if it was Dershowitz.
That's what who knows? That's what I read, but you never know.
I know he hired. I know he also like he either consulted or hired like Ken Starr at one point. Like,
yeah. So basically, like how this kicked off is that a woman contacted the police in Florida and said that her 14-year-old daughter had been taken to Epstein's mansion, and she was paid $300 to strip and massage him, and she left the encounter in her underwear. Sorry?
Don't forget about the pinching.
The pinching? What's the pinching?
Yeah. That's his big move, is he gets them naked, they massage him, and then they pinch his nipples while he fucking jerks off.
I did not read that. You went deep, I guess. Went way too deep.
Had to burn my fucking computer after that one.
Yeah. I hope you were at the public library researching this one. Police started like a 13-month investigation. And then they found, you know, photos and videos. And they found out that he had paid several girls to perform sexual acts with him. Five victims. They interviewed five alleged victims and 17 witnesses. And they showed that most of them were all underage. They found two hidden cameras, large number of photos to the girls, of all the girls that had brought these allegations forward. So this was in 2006. So this is, he wasn't really charged yet, but then, he was charged, and then he pleads guilty.
In 2008.
Yeah. Well, I think he pled guilty in 2008, but by the time the whole process was done, it finished in 2008.
Yeah. So this is like in summer 2007. This is right from the New York Times.
Yeah.
Investigation,
like,
work towards an indictment, and the legal team begins to negotiate with then attorney, U.S. Attorney Alexander Acosta, right?
Right, in Miami.
Yeah, and Acosta ends up becoming part of the Trump administration, right?
Right. He's the yep. He's the previous labor secretary, now resigned.
Step down.
But yeah, 2008, then they struck a deal.
And let's talk about this. The Miami Herald, they in their like expose on this, they identified 80 victims and were able to locate 60 victims of abuse and sexual abuse. Now, some plea deal for someone like for this kind of extent, what, 20? He served like 20 years. Right?
He should have been brought up on federal charges. Like he was going to federal prison.
Yeah. Well, so what did he get? What did he?
Well, ended up making a plea deal, which he basically pled to the state charges and
at least 10 years, right?
How much you get?
Yeah, how much did he get?
What did he get?
For what charge?
How much did he get for the plea deal? Yeah.
Oh, well, the plea deal had him under 18 months.
18 months for that many.
Right, and he only served 13.
That is any other person.
And it gets better because he was allowed, after 3.5 months, was allowed to leave the jail on work release mm-hmm. for up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week.
He just go to work and then go back. He just goes home to jail.
Well, what do you mean work?
Or whatever he's doing.
Diddling.
Yeah.
Well, and then like they talk about how the guards that were supposed to be watching him while he was on work relief were on his payroll.
Like he was at a private prison?
Yeah. Yeah, he was at a fucking men's club, man.
Got like
he was allowed to
these in your bedroom and
yeah.
He was allowed to come and go outside of the specified release hours. His cell door was left unlocked. He had access to the attorney room where there was a TV installed for him. Before he was moved to the Stockade's previously unstaffed infirmary.
Yeah, but what I don't even think is the most fucked up part is that in that deal as well included, it provided him and any of his alleged co-conspirators that were named immunity from further federal prosecution in the Southern District of Florida.
That just makes fucking sense.
Crazy, man. Money buys anything.
It does.
Right.
You know, so basically, it's like everyone's going to stop digging, and any other names you found associated to me with this investigation have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah. And if you're wondering why they would cut that deal, the motivations between some of them, it kind of came forward later that a lot of it was because the prosecution was under a lot of pressure because the Epstein camp had hired a lot of private investigators and they were digging through the prosecution and the families that were coming forward. And people were saying they were having their trash, like things like their trash stolen and gone through, you know, very nearly having their houses broken into, like just digging up stuff about everybody in the case.
Trying to find everything they could. So what else was part of the plea deal? Like he had to register as a sex offender, right?
Yes.
That was part of the thing. But it took like another like, what was it like? Not till like, was it 2011 before he actually had a file? 3 years after.
Well, and then like another shitty thing too is apparently if you're charged as if you've been charged as a sex offender, you're like excluded from being able to go on that work leave.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. You're not supposed to. Oh. No other sex offenders ever got that.
And they're like, there's the jail. They're saying, oh yeah, no, he qualified just like anybody else would have. He was perfect. And then when he was called out for it, he didn't know what the fuck to say. Ended the interview.
So how big was this in the news then? Because I was not paying attention to anything when I was about 20. So was this like as big a news now, like then it is now, like what he's done, or was it just like kind of swept under the rug back then?
I think a lot of it was swept under the rug because even some of this stuff, when they signed the deal, an attorney for Epstein, actually, they got an email and they sent the email to a federal prosecutor that was handling the case. And it said, please do whatever you can to keep this from becoming public. Right. So they were like a lot of this stuff was like between the prosecutors and the defense was like, you got to keep this all. There was a bunch of little stipulations about them keeping this private, and which goes against like the Crime Victims Acts of 2004, where it guarantees that any victims of these crimes had the right to be informed about developments in their cases. So they didn't even know.
They didn't know that he signed the plea deal.
No, they didn't even know about that. It was cut in secret.
That's.
And so when, what year did he actually go to jail?
He was in jail for
2009. He was released in July 2009.
And like, yeah, you know, like we talked about earlier about this guy's rise to power. It's like, okay, well, he's got all this mysterious amounts of money that just kind of just, you know, amalgamated from nowhere. He's going on these fucking plane trips with people who we do, who we know now are kind of shady. You know what I mean? You're going on plane trips with fucking Kevin Spacey,
Harvey Weinstein.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it makes you think, it's like, how far back has this guy been diddling? How long has he been doing this? Was he doing it back when he was a teacher back in the 70s or 80s? You know what I mean? Like, how long does this go back for?
I mean, they've interviewed some of his students that were students during the time when he was teaching. I think he was like 21 when he was teaching there. So some people said that he kind of acted somewhat inappropriately. Yeah, there were some people that said that. But then there's also people who spent a lot of time with him and said, no, he didn't act inappropriately at all. He was also kind of known when he was a teacher. He was also kind of known just to be kind of really unorthodox.
They compared him to Robin Williams and Deadpool Society.
He was, I don't know, people said he was really passionate about math. Like, he was really good at it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, when did this, all this fucking start? You know what I mean? And like, did you read that Vicky Ward's report in Vanity Fair when she wrote about him? And she was the first person, this is back in the early 2000s, that was kind of like shedding a little bit of doubt as to like, is this Epstein guy, this overnight millionaire, you know, is he a decent guy? What's he up to? And she was the first one that started doubting, you know, where is this guy getting his money from? What's he up to? And apparently it came out later that she came out and said, I had fucking evidence to put in this article that proved that he was a sex offender. And the editor of Vanity Fair shut her down.
That's
fucking like, that's like 4 to 5 years of diddling that could have been prevented if they could have been, you know what I mean?
This guy's bought his way out for years and years and years.
Okay. Just to go back, I wanted to touch another point of his, you know, his hard time in jail. So he was allowed to, he had to apply to work for an office. He worked at the office of a foundation that he created right before going to jail. And he dissolved it immediately after serving his time. The sheriff's office received $128,000 from Epstein's nonprofit to pay for the cost of extra services being provided during his work release. His office was monitored by permit deputies whose overtime was paid by Epstein because it was his organization. They were required to wear suits and checked in welcome guests at the front desk. Later, the sheriff's office said these guest logs were destroyed per the department's records retention rules. You're like, so he had people visiting him and no logs because they're like, wow, we weren't allowed to keep the logs. You're like, this motherfucker was paying you the whole time. Like, he controlled that whole situation.
He's a fucking, he's like a genius supervillain. Yeah. I mean, it's like Lex Luthor is going to fucking prison, but we all know what happens when Lex Luthor goes to prison. He's hanging out. He's living the lavish life. Like, this is fucked.
Then he becomes president.
Exactly.
He sits there and plots for however long.
Get this too, because he was a level one, or he was a level three high risk offender, the judge ordered that he personally check in with the New York Police Department every 90 days. That's the rules. Non-compliance is a felony and you go back to jail.
And
guess how many times he checked in?
Yeah, zero.
Zero.
Never. He never checked in and no one did shit.
Jesus.
They never enforced the 90-day regulation with him. Never. Not once.
That's mind-boggling.
What a fucking...
mind-boggling, to say the least.
This is such a bummer, man. I don't need... like, yeah, I hate
it,
this.
It is. Because you're like, if there's... like, it's just so crazy that this guy just circled... He's like, oh yeah, I did it. Like, you caught me red-handed. Do I go to jail?
Yeah. Have you guys seen his mugshots? Huh? Like, every mugshot, he's just got that like smug smirk on his face. Yeah. Just like, you know, like, yeah, it's okay. It's whatever.
Fuck him. This is such a hard fucking, I hate it because I feel like the only thing I have to offer to this podcast is cracking jokes every once in a while. There's no jokes to crack about this fucking story because it sucks. Jokes. It's fucking sad and shitty. No.
It's about a guy who uses his power to do whatever the fuck he wants. But, you know, let's get into more recently. So what happened? How come he got into trouble now?
Well, I think it originally started with Virginia Roberts. Heard of this girl?
Yes, she's the one that...
So
she said Maxwell was involved.
Yeah, so Virginia Roberts, slang, yeah. She was 16 at the time, and she was recruited by this... Is it Jillian Maxwell?
Ghislaine
Maxwell?
Yeah, recruited by, her name is spelled really weird.
It is spelled weird.
It's like Ghislaine.
Anyway, they kind of describe this...
Ghislaine.
They kind of describe that girl as like a British socialite, and she kind of like...
Whose father was... her father was a media mogul. Like he was a really rich dude. And his death is actually, some people would say, was under suspicious circumstances. Some people have alleged that he was assassinated.
Do you got a quick theory on that? Like, does it tie in with this, or is it something on its own?
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Well, no, I mean, to kind of like to show a picture of like Ghislaine and like... part of me wants to say like Ghislaine was kind of the catalyst for all this. I feel like I don't want to say like Epstein was always like this, but I want to say that part of it is like he got to a certain point and then he never really got into that stuff. Cause it really seems like when you read some of the stuff about him, of course, that's the stuff that's written about him. He seems really like he really has a passion for like math and science. Like he really likes these things. He funds a lot of dudes. He has a covey of scientists, right? He loves science. He spent $20 million a year. This was in 2002, but he was spending $20 million a year on scientists. People like Gerald Edelman, who was a Nobel Prize physiologist and also in medicine in 1972. And the guy works for La Jolla University or he's a, like the Neurosciences Institute in La Jolla, and all these guys who are all like Stephen Kosslyn, a psychologist at Harvard. There's also this dude called Martin Novak, which is he's an Austrian biologist and mathematics professor, and he heads up the theoretical biology program at the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton.
Jesus, so right? He's got some,
and all these dudes had like glowing things to say about him. They're like, he is this guy. This is a quote from Gerald Edelman, is Jeff is an extraordinary in his ability to pick up on quantitative relations. He came to us recently. He is concerned with the basic question, is it true that the brain is not a computer?
Yeah, but how many of these fucking guys have been to his parties?
Ooh,
you know what
some
I mean?
Of them. No, he would eat. He would regularly like have these guys like Martin Novak. He says they would meet at least once a month. He'd have him over for private dinners, yeah, and he would have a chalkboard.
He had Hawkins at his fucking dinner table. Island. You know what I mean? Like,
no, at his residence in New York.
Yeah, I know, but he's had these people at his like lavish parties. It's been, I think it was it Edelman or whoever you're talking about. He was said that, oh yeah, you know, Jeff likes having lots of beautiful women around at all times and shit like that. Like, smart people diddle too, man.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back now to Virginia Roberts, how this all kind of got started, the secondary investigation into Epstein. So she was recruited by Ghislaine Maxwell, and she pretty much in her testimony says that she pretty much taught Virginia, like Virginia was taught by Ghislaine to pretty much be a like a sugar daddy girl, like to do whatever Epstein wants. She taught her like how to give blowjobs and like all this shit. She girl was 16 and she goes through her whole thing. And she like in her testimony also says that after she was kind of like trained with Epstein, she was lent out to other people. And she names people like Alan, what's his name?
Dershowitz.
Yeah. And Prince Andrew. He's not, that's not England though.
He's the brother of Prince Charles. Yeah. He's the second born son.
Yeah. So those are the two like notable names and also others, she said. And then like also a professor, she just calls him professor at his private island. He was the first one besides Epstein. And then she goes on, like after she was there for a bit, she started bringing in other girls.
Started recruiting.
And then eventually after a while, they said they're going to send her to Thailand to recruit a Thai girl. And on the way, she falls in love with this Australian dude, moves to Australia, calls up and like, I'm done. Right.
And it's not a Thai girl. It's a fucking child. It's a Thai child. Like a fucking child.
Like a 12-year-old probably or something.
Fuck, man.
And let's not forget, like, the locals over the years have called Epstein's, like, Little Saint James. They've called it Orgy Island, Pedophile Island, and Island of Sin.
His plane.
That's what the locals call it.
His plane was nicknamed the Lolita.
Yeah, Lolita Express. If they're talking about the same island, I know like an IT guy who was working at that compound or whatever. He came forward in a like 2016 testimony, and he was talking about how he left the job. Like he was hired to work there, and I guess whatever the network, internet, Wi-Fi, whatever. And he had to leave because he was so uncomfortable with the amount of topless photos of women in the mansion. Like just a ridiculous, he said it was just a ridiculous amount. He's like a father of three or whatever, and he's like, I couldn't do it.
It's bananas. So this girl, after she gets away, she eventually files the lawsuit, and pretty much she settles in 2017 for an undisclosed sum out of court. And at this time, pretty much not long after is when Acosta is named for U.S. Labor Secretary, Trump's cabinet. And this guy defended Epstein as he was just a nobody criminal. It was like, yeah, let's, you know, he didn't do anything about it. So, and then I guess this builds for a while. People start building a huge case. And I guess, what's his name? Bradley Edwards files a defamation suit. I also settled out of court. And then he pretty much nearly 2,000 pages of records are sealed from that point. Until just last February is when they said that Acosta, this is when the Acosta thing starts, that Acosta violated, what do they call it? Crimes Victims Rights Act by not informing the victims of Epstein originally. And then this is when it all starts come tumbling down pretty much. And then like what happens next? When does he actually get, when's the first charge, when's the new charges started?
Well, I'd say in like July 6th is when he's picked up.
That's so he was at an airport or something.
Airport, yeah. And I think in New Jersey, and it was like a raid. So he had no, I don't think anyone knew it was coming. It was like, surprise, you're under arrest, motherfucker.
Yeah, they're building the case
Welcome
for a while.
Back.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Let's just before we get into this, let's not forget that Epstein and Trump were both named in a lawsuit in 2016, alleging that this girl, who's referred to as Jane Doe, said that both of them sexually assaulted her when she was 13 years old.
But Trump doesn't know Epstein, says his lawyers.
No, he doesn't know him at all.
Yeah, he's quoted in Time magazine saying how fucking wonderful a guy he is. He's terrific.
But they'll just keep telling him for 15 years.
Yeah. She was scheduled to appear in Los Angeles at a Los Angeles press conference 6 days before the 2016 election, but canceled the event. Her lawyer, Lisa Bloom, asserted the woman had received threats. The suit was dropped on November 4th, 2016. Like, I'm not saying that I'm like, you know what? You're just saying, like, I get it. It's dropped. There was no allegations. Nothing was proven. But the fact that someone's coming forward with these things, it's not the first time we're hearing these things. Not about Epstein and definitely not about Trump. And now you have one of these girls being like, this is them together. And this is before. Like, if this were to come out now, people would be like, ah, you're just making it up to try to make a connection. I'm like, no, this is before this has all come out. This is before.
This is part of the timeline.
This is part of the timeline that a girl said when she was 13, she was sexually assaulted by Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, he loves surrounding himself by younger girls, young, beautiful girls, right? Mm-hmm. It's been quoted.
And, you know, apparently, allegedly, ones that look like his daughter.
Oh, it's so fucking weird, man. Is wrong with the world.
Anyways, if this case ends up going farther, there'll be a bunch of episodes we could do on all the people maybe involved, but until then we'll just stick with
it's literally like hundreds of cases.
Until then,
because right now that Epstein's dead and his suicide, now that he's dead, the federal case cannot proceed because he's not there anymore. So now it's going to be split into pretty much like hundreds of civil cases. I mean, they say they're going to still pursue a lot of these, but a lot of this stuff is like instead of it being like a flood, it's just going to like trickle out. And that was probably part of the strategy. It was like, instead of having it all just come out, it's just going to kind of trickle out and just hope that
nothing really sticks. You know,
we stop paying attention.
FBI, they raided his Manhattan townhouse with search warrants. The house, they found perhaps thousands of sexually suggestive photographs of fully or partially nude females. Some of the photos are confirmed as those of underage girls. In a locked safe, compact discs were found with handwritten labels, including the descriptions, young, name plus name, misc nudes one, girls pics nudes. They also found $70,000 in cash, 48 diamonds in a safe, and a fraudulent Austrian passport, which expired in 1987 and had Epstein's photo, but with another name. The passport had numerous entrance and exit stamps, including entrance stamps that showed the use of the passport to enter France, Spain, the United Kingdom, and Saudi Arabia in the 80s. Crazy.
Yeah, and that's one of the ways they got him on. They said there's gonna be no bail, you can't let him out, like that proves that he has the ability or the connections to obtain a fraudulent passport, especially an Austrian one, which is, those are really in really high demand, since an Austrian passport can pretty much get you anywhere because the country is neutral and all those things, but
and part of the union.
That's
just keeps building.
So now speculations as to fucking, you know, did he kill himself?
Well, it's like,
did somebody else, like, cause you'd think after the, cause you know what I mean? He attempted on his life first. Like how long ago, how many months ago did he try and kill himself the first time?
That's not even that long ago. I think that's last month.
No. So would you not, like a couple weeks ago. You would be on suicide watch. A couple weeks ago. Would you not be on some sort of suicide watch? Would you not be in some sort of more?
He was on suicide.
Well, exactly. So it's how the fuck.
And then they took him off of suicide.
That's what they. That's yeah. The story keeps conflicting. Like, no, he wasn't on suicide watch then, but he was the week before. But they were supposed to be
right. No, he was on, and then they're saying that he was taken off a suicide watch, and on the recommendations, I believe the warden and the psychologist that they, the prison psychologist.
The only thing I kept reading
the last couple days.
The only thing I kept reading is a source from like an inside source, no name, no quoted name, said that they were talking about either he wasn't on suicide watch, or maybe he was, but the guards were on overtime. Like there's multiple stories of the same event, and no one really knows what the actual, like, what is it?
Was there any recent donations made to the fucking jail? Anybody's bank accounts just did he automatically fucking grow? Overnight?
Did he own the jail? Like, did he own
like? Well, somebody probably did.
Someone owns it.
Well,
somebody's name who's on that
so
fucking.
So to go back through, he was found unresponsive with, this one's a weird one to me because he was found unresponsive in his cell originally, and
the first time
he was taken to hospital, and he was found with red marks around his neck, and they weren't sure if it was a suicide attempt or he had been assaulted by a cellmate. But I'm like, roll the cameras back. Why? Like
those cameras are missing. They're missing that 10 minutes.
How is that fucking hard? It's a fucking jail. There's cameras on every fucking corner in jail. Like, what do you mean you don't know? You can just watch the cameras and see if someone fucking entered an exit right before you fucking found them. Right? Like, it's not a hard thing to piece together. I've been in jails, not as a serving inmate, but I've toured them. And like, this is not This is not a hard thing to figure out. You can say, like, we don't really know because he was found, but you can look and go, look, okay, he was fine. He's fine. He's fine. He goes into his cell. There's not a camera in his cell because there's a black spot because there's a bathroom. And, whoa, here's so-and-so entering for 10 minutes, and then he leaves, and then 5 minutes later, we found him unresponsive. Like, you know what I mean? You can make the connection of, I think he was assaulted.
Well, would he have been in his own cell, or do you have a cellmate? Or is it only...
Well, here's the thing. There's no fucking way they have a guy like that in general population. There's not a fucking chance. Right. A high-profile guy like that, right away. Okay, and mind you, I'm talking about what I know with Canadian... Canadian,
our little lockups.
Yeah, our lockups. But if you have any kind of, and if anyone knows, please message us because I've been curious about this. But in Canada, if you have any sex crimes, especially those with a minor, especially if you're going to be a case that's in the media, guess what? You're getting PC status. So you're in protective custody right off the bat. You're not going in GP. And a case like this of this guy, and this is so high profile, this would have been the fucking biggest thing for this jail to watch. Like, we need to make sure this guy, nothing happens.
You would think.
Well, and like the big thing too is anybody with any type of medical background that's going to have a look at him is going to be able to assess whether it's ligature marks from whatever he was able to find to hang himself or somebody's fucking hands from strangling him, right? Like, it all depends.
Yeah.
You're going to see signs like patika and shit like that you wouldn't see normally.
Because I don't know, but I'm going to assume in jail they don't let you wear a belt.
Nope.
Right?
They take away your shoelaces.
Like, they don't give you any type of rope. Like, you have nothing really to hang yourself unless you'd somehow rigged up your clothing, tied it together, made some type of clothing rope, and, like, I guess did it that way or something. But
okay, I don't know for sure if they take away your shoelaces, but I remember from Blue Streak.
What are you going to do with it? Floss your ass?
You have Velcros or Crocs in Canada. You have Velcro shoes or Crocs.
He actually had leather shoes. Well, when he went to jail the first time, he paid extra for the leather
paid
shoes.
Paid extra.
He bought the fucking special Ichiban. You know what I mean? He got the fucking jerky. He was living the fucking nice life.
Yeah.
So that was his first one. July 25th.
Yeah.
Possible, so then he's suicide put
on, they say he's on suicide watch after that. Right? So I don't know in the States what that requires or what that is. But like here... You have almost watch around the corner. You're put in a suicide suit so you can't hurt yourself. Like, every precaution is taken so you can't commit suicide. He's then seemingly, like, from mixed reports, he's taken off suicide watch. And then the protocol was to give him a cellmate so he's not to be alone. So he's given a cellmate, from what I've read. And then that cellmate is taken away.
Because he was taken off a suicide watch.
Yeah, no, but because you wouldn't be with someone. What I read is after he was taken off suicide watch, he had to have a cellmate.
No, because it's like, well, I think in the policy in the Manhattan Correctional Center or whatever, where he was at the jail, their suicide watch consists of having another cellmate that is trained. Like, they put them through, like, a special program or something. They take a special course, and it's like, okay, you're on suicide watch now. You're qualified.
That guy's also just been released and lives in a fucking million-dollar mansion and is being taken care of.
Hey,
really
No. So, no, hold on. This is... I've pulled up the thing I was reading. So, it says he was placed on suicide watch. 6 days later, Epstein was taken off suicide watch, but he was placed in a special housing unit with another inmate.
Oh.
The jail had informed the Justice Department that Epstein would have a cellmate and that the guard would be looking into his cell every 30 minutes. These procedures were not followed on the night of the death. One, they were not doing the 30-minute checks. Two, they had removed his cellmate and put him somewhere else, so he was by himself.
Convenient.
Mm-hmm.
He was not checked at all the night of his death.
And he had met with his lawyer. Like, he'd actually met with his defense attorney, I think sometime that day.
I'm not sure exactly, but
I'm just saying, like,
it's very suspicious.
Yeah.
Now it's hard for me. Here's the two things, because everyone's like, oh, you know, fuck Clinton body count, Trump body count, all this stuff. But I'm like, if he was murdered, are they just worried? Is someone worried that he will say and he'll incriminate other people? Because from the sounds of it, he might, like, all this shit to incriminate other people may be fucking at his island that they're currently investigating and tearing apart.
They're tearing apart all his properties now. Like, they're going everywhere. I think the one in Paris is that it was getting raided by French authorities as well.
So that's my thing. I'm like, so if you're going to murder him, it's like, yeah, but if there's anything in that house, in one of those houses, like, you're fucked anyways. But maybe they just didn't want him to, like, corroborate a story.
Well,
like, point it and be like, I know you, motherfucker. I know you, motherfucker. I know you. Like, you were here. You did this with me. We remember when we tag-teamed her? Remember when we did the Eiffel Tower in Paris there, buddy?
Man. Right? Like, if he is that smart of a guy, like, he knows he's in trouble. Maybe that final meeting with his attorney, he's like, I'm probably going out tonight or soon. Here's all, like, this is it. This is how I bring the rest of them down. And then, you know, like, we'll see. I guess we'll see. There's 2,000 pages. There's all his properties being raided. It's, I don't think this one's just going to go away like before, personally. I hope not, at least, but.
I hope not. I hope people keep it in the limelight, like, keep demanding answers. Because what's going to happen is, you know, like, people are just going to, you know, the next terrorist attack's going to happen or something. And then it's going to be like, oh, we forget who,
well,
and prosecutors are going to get pressure from the top being like,
yeah,
we got bigger pressing thing. He's dead. Let's worry about this next thing.
Like Dan said,
he's dead. It's all good.
Like Dan said, this guy's a genius, right? He's a smart guy, surrounded himself with a lot of smart people. I don't think he's going down without a fight. I'm sure there's some type of doomsday switch that he flicked.
He had to, I think.
That's what I'm saying. He may have. If he were that smart, right? Because there's a lot of things that are saying that there's suspicion that a large portion of his personal income was from blackmailing people. There's at least, I think, one reporter said that they met with him and, like, he said, he admitted, like, on the record or something, he's like, I have videos of some of the world's most influential people having sex with kids.
Which,
and it's Jesus.
That makes sense to me because we all know Trump is well-known doofus, right? Like, he says and does dumb shit all the time, but, like, if you knowingly are hanging out with this diddler and diddling with, you know, doing diddler stuff with him, would you fucking come out in a magazine and be like, yeah, he surrounds himself with beautiful women, a lot of them are young, you know what I mean?
That was 15 years ago,
but still, it's like,
I'm not defending anyone, I'm just saying, if 15 years ago he was 50, he would have been 51, right? I think he's 66 when he died. So 15 years, he's 51. Maybe a young girl was a 20-year-old. Like a young girl when you're 50 could be pretty young. Like 20.
Or so he thought.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I'm not defending.
And he could be filming, right? Epstein could have been filming Trump with these young girls.
I don't know.
Maybe he thinks they're fucking 18, 19. Maybe they're actually fucking 16. Maybe when it's done, he says, hey, man, I've got this video.
That very well could be.
You're going to do what I want you to do.
So, like, girls mature at different rates. A girl could be 16, look like she's 20. And if you are not told, and you're blackmailed, like, what do you, like, you're, I don't know.
I don't know.
Meet Trump's lawyer, Zell.
I don't know.
Zell is now joining the Trump legal defense team.
I'm not implicating anyone. I'm not getting a suicide on my own watch over here.
I saw a red hat sitting over there.
But
that's pretty much
what
they're saying. I'm saying that that's what they'll be saying in court. They'll be like, he didn't know. Like, he's whatever. He's 50. So 20 could be young.
Michael Wolff is a columnist for New York Magazine, and he did a profile piece on Jeffrey Epstein, and he quoted Jeffrey as saying, when he was asking about when the case and stuff was starting to come up, Jeffrey Epstein said, and I quote, what can I say? I like young girls. And Wolff replied, maybe you should say I like young women. I was like, what? You're like, that's what he's quoted as saying. Like, wow, what can I say? I like young girls. Like, I don't think he gave a fuck.
Whoa.
I think he knew he had so much dirt on people that he's just like.
Maybe he thought he could just wait it out till he's fucking Cosby age and then 85, I'll go to jail and it's over.
And I like that, like Brayden said, that people mentioned the Clintons and the Trumps. But I'm like, dude, those people you don't even understand. They don't even run in the same circles as the people that Epstein was rubbing elbows with.
Guys,
like Epstein was
meeting
with people. Like I said, his Jeffrey Epstein and Co. was managing funds. You had to have $1 billion in assets. Like together, I think like the Clintons themselves are only worth maybe $200, maybe $400 million.
They're low. Like,
that's how much they're
worth. They're a third tier.
Now, do we know yeah. for sure that
people like Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, that guy's worth like $17 billion.
No, those guys in Saudi, those Saudi princes have a registered worth, but a lot of people say it could be 10 or 100 times more because they have so much
yeah,
cash.
The entire royal family itself is worth like $1.3 trillion.
But do we know that for sure? Or is he just saying that to try and inflate his fucking image and his ego saying, I don't
know.
No,
he has pictures.
Anybody.
Like he had pictures in his apartment. Well, like there was a reporter piece. They're like, here's a picture with me, with Mohammed bin Salman, and we hang out. And he has obviously a passport that he went to Saudi Arabia in the 80s.
And I'm sure he does. And he did have clients that big. But I'm saying, like, did he only work with people that were billionaires, like he said? I fucking doubt it. I doubt
that's,
it.
No, that's what his company policy was.
Yeah, but like, that's what he says.
You wanted to work with him, you had to have $1 billion.
We don't know if this guy, he's the most credible human being in the world.
Okay,
we
well, still, say you had to have $400 million to work with him. That's still, like, more than an entire population of a state.
Well, it's like, still impressive, but we just don't, like, we don't have record. You know what I mean? All we have is with him.
Not
with
yet.
Like,
we don't have public record.
Not yet.
We don't have public
right?
record.
We yet. Just have what this fucking thing is.
Client list is still private. So it's like, yeah, the only real confirmed person that they have that worked with them was it Wexton?
Wexton, yeah. Wexton. Or Wexton.
And Wexton said he started cutting ties with Epstein at least like in 2000, like a decade ago, like in the early 2000s or stuff. And there was a whole thing of dispute as whether Epstein stole most of his money from Wexton. Because when he did a lot of shady stuff when he had the power of attorney and ended up to like scooting off with like $87 million or something.
In a mansion for $1.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found the price of that mansion in New York was $77 million.
Jesus. Now.
Now. But still, 77. That's fucking.
I think he may have bought it for $20 million, but then they also said he did a whole like gut renovation of the whole thing for another $10 million.
Well, house prices have like tripled in the last 10 years. So depending on, especially all big cities, New York, like all the big major capital cities of North America, their house prices have gone insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the other thing, like his private island, like that's got some weird stuff on it too. Like, aside from being like all the locals knowing about all these young girls going there and calling it all these sinister names, you know, it's got that weird temple, that weird like blue striped temple.
It looks like it's.
And I was reading it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, one of the contractors is like, yeah, it has a huge wooden door that has reinforcing lock bar. But the lock bar is on the outside.
What the fuck?
On the outside?
So like,
no one
can. Yeah. So it's like, that's not to, you know, normally a lock is to keep people out. When you have a lock bar on the outside, it's like to keep people in. Like keep.
That is terrifying. You know,
yeah. So, you know, when that goes, there was allegations of him, like them, you know, him and Maxwell keeping these people hostages and taking their passports and stuff. So, you know, it's. Time's gonna tell what they find on this island, but there's you can read tons of allegations of people like trying to escape this island, swimming off the island, only to be caught and found, by search parties. The island is reported to have like guards all around it, like security when he was there, not right now. Obviously, it's full of FBI agents probably. but yeah, it's just. How deep it is and how well connected he is, it just still doesn't make. I'm like, why? Like, killing yourself is an act of like he obviously guilty. You're not just gonna be like, well, I'm bored with this. Now I'm gonna kill myself.
Now, what if
that just seems weird? I'm like, just
what
doesn't add.
What if his autopsy is like a heart attack or something like?
That would be weird.
Well, you know, some people are saying that that. They don't even think the body's him. Like they have that one side picture.
Oh, that's a little conspiracy. Like,
yeah.
And there is, like, it's like, yeah, he's on a private jet to Israel right now.
Yeah. And it's like,
he's got another island somewhere else.
We did.
One, it's
two
like
islands.
They're saying, like, I've read crazy, like, they showed the dead, it shows the picture of just the side profile of like someone there. And it shows the nose. And it's like, that guy doesn't have the same nose. And like, they round and they show a side profile of his picture. They're like, that's not the same guy. And then I've seen like wild accusations going of like, that looks just like Hillary Clinton's brother who died. I'm like, But her brother died like back in June. Like it's kept fucking,
freezer, man.
Crazy.
Like, what are they just, they're like, you
we're
know
just
what?
Gonna keep my him body, around for when we have to off Epstein.
Yeah, my brother's will said we can use his body for any means necessary. I'm like, okay, you're not gonna hold a body for 2 months, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? This guy had resources. Like,
no, I think this guy had so much dirt on people that if he didn't kill himself, he was killed somehow.
Now,
the optimistic part of me is saying that maybe he just knew it was done. Like, everything is out. They dropped those 2,000 pages. They got his blackmail safe. They got all that stuff. And they've got more stuff. And maybe his defense attorney was like, look, man, you're fucked.
It's over.
Like, yeah, it's over. This is the optimistic part of me saying.
And
this,
the people you're dragging down with you. Like, this is going
to
be
they're going to kill you. And it's like, yeah, as soon as you go to prison, yeah, you're going to get murdered. So this is your only chance to go out on your own terms.
That's what I mean. It could have been that last meeting with his attorney could have been. That's the one. Like, all right, well,
like this is it. If you want to go out on your own terms, like, this is going to be the time to do it. And you can do it now.
He's like, you already have this guy and this guy on your payroll. Like, we'll get the guy. He'll leave your cell. You'll have 15 minutes. Like, that probably, like, I don't know. Like, if that's going to happen.
That's the optimistic part of me saying that everything is going to come out eventually and whatever. And he just didn't want to rot away in a cell. And he's just like, you know, it's screw it. Like, you know, no, he's accustomed to living in his crazy, billionaire lifestyle, insane craziness. And he's like, I just don't want to sit in the cell. Like, and maybe he's just a guy who's like, I'm too smart for that. And I'm just out. Like, man, fuck it.
But I think if these 2,000 pages and the blackmail safe and all his properties are being like, I'm a very conspiratorial minded person, and there's obviously shady people in this world hiding stuff, but I don't think an entire government's, you know, the entire like Justice Department is in on it. So that if there's good people working on it, and if there's enough of them, I think it all comes out, because it's so public now. It's on it's everywhere. It's on the local fucking news web app that we have in Kelowna. It has nothing to do with Kelowna at all, which is usually just local news, and obviously Jeff Epstein case. Like, it's fucking everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I'm just, maybe he just didn't want to sit through all of it. He's like, you know what? It's all going to come out eventually. I just don't want to drag it out. So I just don't want to have to sit there and do all this stuff. So it's just like, I'll just kill myself.
Yeah, I agree with
that. So I'm kind of hoping that's how the situation goes.
There's a lot of,
and that's what it is.
I've read, I couldn't find any like solid reports to substantiate other than people are like, I've seen lots of claims that the surveillance cameras that should have captured his death had malfunctioned. And I'm like, and I was like looking, I was like, okay, all right. Like, if that's the case, like, yeah, that's the fucking cherry on top for me. I can't find anything substantiating that yet. I did find a report of the warden being like, security cameras are not going to solve his death. And I was like, why the fuck would you say that?
The one thing I do have to say is that you probably won't see, for a while at least, you won't see a lot of details about his suicide. Like, there are actually guidelines that are set down for the media for releasing details about suicides. That's why you don't see a lot of them in the news, or you don't see a lot of stuff that says like, it's, you know, it's ruled a suicide. It is a suicide, because there's this thing that I read about, and there's an actual term for it. It's called the suicide contagion. And what happens is, like, it's a studied phenomenon that people who see or view suicides on TV or in media or on the internet or whatever, there's a heightened chance of copycat suicides. Like, they did fit there were 50 documented studies.
Why do they do that with suicides and not for shooters? Shooters are made fucking public. Like,
well, like, you don't, huge. I mean, you don't see the videos of them like running around and shooting people.
No, but it's all like, over the news. Know. That's what I'm saying. But yeah.
You
okay.
Know, you see it on the news, you see the reports of the stuff that like what happened, but you don't actually see the videos of people. Like, those things will get taken down. I mean, like what they did with the New Zealand shootings. Like, that stuff got on the internet and they took it down real fast, or they tried to get it.
Because there's multiple shooters. They didn't want anyone to know.
Well, that, or it's like, that's, there's real serious global guidelines set down for suicide.
I'm sure there is. It just, this all seems so convenient right now. Right.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But I'm not sure about shootings, but suicides, it's definitely a thing. Like, there are guidelines that the media follows about releasing details about.
There's also guidelines for convicting pedophiles, and this guy didn't follow any of them, so. Let's fucking break down the barriers and let's show that video. Let's go.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like it's only a matter of time before we find out anything, or we just realize it's going to be swept under the rug, which I'm leaning toward. That's probably what we're just going to hear less and less about it until like 5 years from now, someone's going to like do a tweet or whatever we're doing that saying like, remember when that Epstein guy like died and then we never heard about anything?
I hope that doesn't happen, but a lot of people say like, we're just one big event away from forgetting the whole thing. So
yeah.
And then part of me is like that. Yeah, that's, you know, the pessimistic part of me is like, this is all part of the strategy. You know, they get rid of him. So there's no federal case to be put forward because he's not there. He can't drop all the names all at once.
Yeah.
And it's just that's the only way they could figure out how to mitigate the damage is to just let
it's
it
like giving them
out.
Time. Yeah, it's yeah. giving them time.
It's giving us time the only to clean person his stuff, like clean out his apartments, you know, get our people there. Before the FBI does and get everybody there to clean, which is kind of doesn't make any sense because now they can go and do whatever they want because he's dead. But,
and he yeah. like, he was the only one named in the indictment. So like officially the case ends with him, even though they're saying like, whoa, no. Like if there is any other people, like do not rest easy. I'm like, they can rest a little fucking easy because he was the only one indicted. Right. He was the only one fucking indicted. So right now, as far as that case goes, there's no other one.
Yeah.
No other
and
person.
And the person
indicted.
Who is running the so case now, is fucking AG Barr, who's, yeah. you know, that dude's.
Let's not forget.
Watch
okay,
him
let's
dance
not forget,
on his strings, you know?
a name that's come up in this a lot is Trump. Like, I'm not saying, like, I don't know if he was. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats, but I'm just saying if their names come up and they're attached to things. Their heads should roll.
Everyone.
It doesn't matter what fucking political party they are.
100%.
Right? They should face prosecution, go to jail. It doesn't fucking matter. But what I'm saying is we've had Trump who's named alongside this guy a lot, and he's the fucking sitting president. And he, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, fuck. Right? Like,
not to mention he's had multiple other cases, alleging sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
On his part, there are tons of other cases. Probably at least like there's like 12 or something at this point, and then plus this, and it's like nothing happens.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing happens
because everyone who's in charge works for him. Like everyone is.
Oh, I don't think they work for him. I think they I think they work for whoever's pulling his strings.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't think anything's gonna happen. I think Dan hit it on the head. This is like they know who. Everyone connected to this knows they're in trouble. Right? So now this is just a way to slow it down because now there's no trial. Now there's no case. Now they got to do this investigation and they can control what information trickles out.
Yeah.
And there's because he's dead and can't talk, anything written in a piece of paper could just be like, oh, yeah, this guy was a fucking blackmail artist. Look at this guy. Right? Like, how can you believe him?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's.
Like, without him alive to, like, corroborate, like, hey, why'd you write this guy's name in this book this one time? And he's like, well, because if you look here and this, and, like, give them more details of the account, and then these other people can't defend themselves because they don't have alibis, it makes it really hard to prosecute this case for anyone, even if their names are found, right? Unless there's fucking picture evidence and video evidence, which we'll probably no one's ever going to see the light of. It's all going to be like, oh, the discs were unreadable.
Yeah, all that evidence goes in somewhere. It goes put next to the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
Underneath the Pentagon.
Smithsonian.
In Indiana Jones.
Smithsonian Archives, it's gone.
It's got the burnt out swastika on it, and then there's like Epstein sex tapes like next to it. But this is just I wanna hope because that's the kind of person I am, but I think it's just going to be the sad truth that it's going to be this is another example of just these hyper rich people who get away with everything. These people who roll in a whole different level of reality and are just impervious to law and justice as we see it. You know,
it's crazy.
There's authors and like social psychologists and people who study these kinds of things. And they're like these kinds of people like you don't understand. Like the amount of power they wield and the excesses that they can afford and how they run their lives are on a completely different psychological level than what we can actually comprehend as normal working people.
It's like their sphere.
Put it in context. Jeffrey Epstein went to jail and was allowed to work. And he was allowed to work for the company that he started right before he went to jail and closed right when he got out of jail. And he paid the jail staff to be there to watch him. And then it was his company's policy that he started to destroy any logs of them visiting. And everyone followed suit and no one was the wiser. Like,
what the fuck?
No one gave a shit.
Right?
Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Oh. And the thing that I worried about is like, these kinds of things that you're seeing now, and you're seeing more and more of them, and it's almost like the stuff, at least in the United States, is what you see is these things were the downfall of civilizations like Rome.
Yeah,
you have the super uber rich class. You have the huge the widening margin between the poor and the rich. You have the rich going to tremendous amount of excesses, not paying taxes, avoiding paying taxes. And that's also one of Epstein's kind of specialties.
Finding
different ways to kind of moderate your taxes and fix those. So you didn't have to pay any taxes. Him himself moved some of his accounting firm like offshore into the Virgin Islands where he didn't have to pay any, made him avoid like 90% of taxes. So you have these kinds of things, and then you have also just the moral rot that sets in to this uber rich class, and then it just ends up like eating away at the society, and it all crumbles down, and then we get raided by the Vandals or whatever.
History repeats itself over and over again. I don't know
and then everything kind of falls in on itself, and it leads to collapse unless we learn from history.
Unless we learn, and like there is stuff in the United States, I don't really know, but like they've introduced like a wealth tax, like huge tax on the wealthy, right, and all this kind of stuff. So
that's, yeah, those are the things that are in the works. And if like some of this stuff can get passed, and if we can stop it before it fully downs, I don't think we're going to be able to avoid, you know, all the damage
that's
been set down. But I think there can be change. You can hope.
Like, as long as we live in a capitalism, like as long as that's our,
right,
like there'll always be wealthy and poor. But if you can like minimize the gap between the two, it runs a lot smoother. But as soon as you start pulling, you get guys who are like, oh, you need $1 billion to work with this guy. That's fucking like,
$1 billion.
Like, what? All you can do with that is buy islands, because that's the only purchase that's big enough to be able to use it. Like, it's crazy.
$1 billion. It's just like, oh my God.
I don't know. We're living in weird, strange times.
$1.3 trillion.
A family.
A family that
inherited their wealth from their ancestors who conquered the world with brutal massacre for hundreds of years. And no one even's like, those guys are good guys. You know, good family over there.
Yeah.
The land in Canada is still called, it's queen. It's like, it's the crown land, right? It's the queen's land. Yeah. If the city doesn't own it, it's the crown land.
I don't know their entire net worth. I know Prince Andrew is valued at about $80 million. I think his Prince Andrew.
Oh, that's relatively small.
Prince Charles.
You know what? I 100% that I think that's just a fucking number given out because they have to give out numbers.
That's what I mean. They have like a disclosed amount, and then they probably have more. Like, who knows the exact amount?
There's fucking Kardashians with more money than that. Like, let's be serious.
Well, I could probably
trillion
say,
dollars. You know. The Kardashians do not have a trillion.
Oh, you said
dollars.
$80 million.
Oh yeah, that, yeah, those guys. Yeah,
yeah. I could probably say for sure, like for people who are really high profile, or at least people who, you know, are presidents, like, well, except for one recent one, who hasn't disclosed his tax returns. I would say that, you know, most of those are pretty on the nose for those people who are presidents or planning to become presidents.
Because president, you only make was like $400,000, right? Is your salary?
$200,000 is your salary.
Yeah, so that's.
But most of them are worth more than that, you know,
from their prior, either prior or post being president. You make your money.
Yeah, you can't be poor and run for president.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so before we wrap this one up on this crazy case file, hopefully it doesn't fall out. What do you guys think? Is there any chance he's still alive? And that wasn't him.
No, he's super.
I think he's dead, but there's always a slight chance. Like, if he really had some strings pulling, maybe he could. I don't know. Maybe he could get away. But I don't.
Or go back and listen to a Brayden's podcast about the faking your own death, and it's like how that works.
That was Patreon only fake deaths, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Maybe he could.
It's hard.
That's why
it is difficult.
Let's wrap this one up. This is pretty fresh news, so we're gonna keep reporting on it. Hopefully, it doesn't stay out.
There's a new story every like 20 seconds if you refresh Google. So,
yeah. So hopefully, hopefully more information comes out, and hopefully anyone connected with this is held to the same standard that you and I would be if we were to do these crimes.
At least close. At least close. Like, if we're gonna do like 10 lifetimes worth of sentence, give all these guys off at least one full lifetime. At least
to me, it's like 60 counts of this. 60 people they found that this guy had fucking abused, and he gets 13 months. And meanwhile, there's people serving fucking life sentences for fucking marijuana offenses because they hit the three strike rule.
Well, I remember,
and some of them didn't even fucking hit the three strike rule. On previous plea deals, they pled that this would be their like one and two strikes, so the next offense would be the third strike. Yeah. And now they're serving life in prison for fucking marijuana charges and shit. You got these fucking guys raping girls, young children, and 13 months of which they only had to serve really.
It's
three.
Not even like it's more
their
than
doors
that.
Aren't even fucking locked. Like it's just sick.
It's raping girls, but also converting these girls to be your workers.
It's grooming, like you're grooming.
You're grooming them to be
it's
sex workers.
Sex trafficking, like yeah. It's
sex trafficking, 100%. The worst of all.
It's fucking crazy. Okay, let's get into a lighter note here. Let's get into some space news. If you guys remember my favorite flat earther, Mike Hughes, we talked about him last year when he launched himself in his homemade rocket.
I hurt his back.
And crashed.
Old Mad Mike yeah. Hughes.
And he hurt himself. He compressed some vertebrae. And he had some soreness, but he lived. Well, he's going higher this time. He's planning to launch Saturday, August 17th. He had some issues with a rocket heater on August 12th. He's going to launch it, but he's going to go 5,000 feet.
Wow, that's so high.
Yeah. So let me make another bold prediction. Last time I predicted he'd die, and he just hurt himself.
is this the
my
one?
My space news prediction is for August 18th, mad flat earther who launches himself 5,000 feet dies upon fiery impact of his homemade steam rocket. Trying to prove the Earth is flat.
What is this?
And his last transmission is, oh, it's round. And
no, y'all can see the round from 5,000 feet. Everyone knows that.
Well, he's working. He's working his way, man.
He didn't get there. They say he's paying for it this time.
He's paying for his whole cost of the car?
He's paying for his whole thing.
Rocket?
Like,
yeah.
His fees or whatever somebody put up money for like the fees for the launching or whatever, like you had to
pay.
Yeah,
the launch fees. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Did like if you just crash, do you have to pay those launch fees?
You have to pay to like be able to launch a rocket off your property or something. Like you have.
Yeah,
to,
but
like,
if you permit. Crash, does it count? Like,
I mean, I think he's planning on coming back, so I think he's gonna pay for it. Mm. No, he's gonna be like, I'm good for it. Don't worry.
Let's
see.
Good luck to you, buddy.
Good luck, Mr. Hughes.
Yeah, good luck, Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Hughes.
Hopefully you walk away from this one with yes, sir. Yeah, Godspeed, sir.
Any relation to Howard
We're
Hughes?
We're leaving on a jet plane.
Don't know when I'll be back again.
His case never, because he's going to die.
He's going down.
Yeah.
He did.
I don't think he's going to die, but he's going to hurt his back
if
again.
He makes
for sure.
it 5,000 feet.
He almost died last time, and then he's like, "You know what? I made some miscalculations. I need to go bigger."
He's got airbags this time. Okay. He got airbags.
Need more rockets.
Yeah, he's in a Zor ball this time.
This time he painted flames ball. On the side of his rocket, so it goes faster.
Oh, that's good shit. Have you guys heard of the Lightsail 2?
I've heard
of
it.
Oh, man.
Ooh,
new spacecraft, which uses like a solar sail to bounce like sunlight off its mirrors, giving it propulsion through space. Right. And it can pretty much, they're saying like it can go
theoretically.
Theoretical, but it's being it's being tested right now.
Well, it's being tested because then it won't be a theory. I mean, you have to test it.
It's being tested. It could go as fast as 3.6 million miles per day. It's been successfully tested in Earth orbit, called the Light Sail 2.
How much?
3.6 million miles per day. Times that by 60%. Or no, 60% was it? How many? What's 1 kilometer?
A day? That's 24 hours. So
1 mile is 1.6 kilometers. So I don't know. Do the math there. I don't know. What's that? 4.5 million kilometers per day. Something like that.
Yeah, but like how, like, does that mean it get to the moon in like a day?
Well, what's the moon? The moon's about 400,000 kilometers away, so it could get to the moon. But the thing with this is it's a slow acceleration. Like it starts going and then it keeps,
right,
it keeps
it's accelerating. It's going to take a while to get to full speed.
But once it gets to full speed.
35 years to get to full speed or something?
I don't know about 35 years, but like a long time, way more than a conventional rocket. But then once it gets going, it could just, like, it's gone. I could just keep going that speed forever pretty much. So,
woo.
It's cool.
Get it out there.
Light Sail 2.
SpaceX's Starship prototype could make its biggest hop yet this weekend. This is the SpaceX Starhopper. It's planning a 650 feet up. It's basically a early test prototype of the company's Mars colonizing Starship vehicle. So I don't really know. I didn't quite get it. I think it's just going to like launch from like colony to colony when they first get up there. It's designed to help pave way for the 100-passenger Starship and Super Heavy, the giant rocket that will loft the spaceship off Earth's surface. Starship will... I don't really know. Like, I don't really get what it does. It just hops.
I don't get it, but it sounds cool.
I don't get it. It looks cool.
I don't know.
It's cool. I like it. It looks cool. I'm all about it. I like this kind of space news.
Big old thumbs up.
No idea what it is. It's a cool looking spaceship too. Look it up. Starhopper.
Looks
cool.
Real cool.
Look it up.
Okay, you heard it first here. Hashtag look it up. Starhopper. Something smacked into Jupiter.
Oh yeah.
That was a cool one, eh?
That was cool.
August 7th, astronomers saw something slamming into the gas giant. So they got a good flash of it. Impact just, well, I'm going to say just left of the red eye, but
you don't really know.
Way left. Pretty cool. They got some photos of it and they got an animation of how fast the flash happened. Pretty cool stuff. Also, I was reading that the bright red spot's kind of
shrinking,
slowly dissipating. Yeah,
yeah, but it's gonna shrink after like 50,000 years or something. It's going to go down by a little bit. That's what they think.
Yeah. It's on its way out. Last thing, the Perseid meteor shower.
Happening.
It's tonight's, I think, the biggest night. So those listening live, if you got on our Patreon, you could be listening live too. Tonight's the night. Dozen of shooting stars per hour. It's going to peak around midnight tonight.
Hey, is this the meteor shower that Graham Hancock and co. think is the source of all those giant fucking asteroids that kill Earth? Or is that a different one?
Well, there's a Perseid, and what's the one in December?
I'm not sure.
Leonids?
Yeah, I can't remember one of those, but that's like...
I don't think I can type fast enough to find it.
Dan, you might have some good visibility according to the visibility chart, but I think up in Canada here, where most of us aren't going to have a really good, we're in the poor visibility. I'm in the fair, actually. I'm in the fair. Zell, you're in poor. Andrew, you're in poor. Dan, you're in, I don't really know where Virginia is, but I'm going to guess you're in the fair zone too.
Fair.
What is it? The Leonid meteor showers happen every year in November. Those are the ones you're thinking of?
Those are the ones. I don't know which ones are the killers, though.
One of these showers, think that we pass through it twice a year, and that's the one that eventually... Because they've had, like, in the last couple months, they have two pretty good-sized meteors fly between Earth and the moon. And we didn't see them.
We never talked about that.
And we didn't see them. They just go, whoop, zipping by, and they're like, holy shit, that could have been, like, not a global killer, but, like, a
city killer.
A good state... Or a small state killer, probably. like upset all and that, the ecosystem.
For something to zip past between the moon and the Earth is crazy. I remember I watched a little graph of like they have one of those like oh God, what's it called? Where it's like our tracking us around the sun, like the I don't know why the name's blanking me here. What's it called when we rotate around the sun? This like our orbit. Solar system, our orbit. Yeah, and it's showing the moon orbiting the Earth, and then it shows this object. Like it tracks where this object came from, and then it comes, and you see it like on the map. On the map, it just like blips right between the Earth and the moon, so close. I was like, ooh. I was like, we didn't even know that was coming. We didn't know. We didn't know till it passed.
Hey, well, like, technically, they actually knew about it. They knew about where it was, but by the time it was coming from a strange angle, they said it came from a real angle that put it like in between, like put it in front of Mars, so you couldn't really see it. They couldn't really see it or whatever. They said that you could actually see it with like a good enough like a backyard telescope. It wasn't that hard to spot, but it came in at a weird angle. By the time it got that close, that you would have been like, oh, this is something we really have we could kind of worry about. They were like, oh, it was already shooting by. It was, you know, things go fast.
Yeah. Well, it's still, we didn't know about it. Like, had they been on a, you know, it's just scary to think that there's objects out there that we're like, they could hit us and we're like, ah, we won't know till a real, you know, whoops.
I don't know. I almost like it that way. I don't want to know. Just fucking hit us. And
I don't think they'd tell you.
No, just let it fucking crash in like it's over. Especially if it's going to be like, if you're living in, like it hits Canada, don't tell me.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Like if it's hitting West Coast Canada, I want to look up and like, holy shit, there's something coming. Oh, it's over. Oh,
you got. Yeah, you can only hope that if it's a planet killer, it smacks right into right on top of your house.
Just vaporize me. Yeah. Vaporize it.
I don't want to deal with the fallout of like.
Yeah, the apocalypse after.
I don't want to do a whole Mad Max
lead
thing.
Up.
I really lead up.
I remember I'll say this for after hours. I watched a cool thing on the meteor that killed the dinosaurs. But why don't we get into, I got a UFO case file of the week. If anyone has any other space news.
No, that's it.
Mm-mm.
All right, so cue up another fan submission. I know we've been getting tons of those. They've been getting filtered into the Randotron. Cue me up another fan submission.
Fan submission? Okay, here we go. And I'm thinking at it right now. Sending. You getting that?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Great. Boom.
Is it a long one? It's a long one. All right. This is from, again, if you're writing in a story, you want me to use your name, tell me at the preface it with, you can use my name or you can't. To be safe, if you don't say that, I'm not going to use your name. I'm just going to make up names for you and then you'll know it's you. This story sent in by Mel B. That's a made up name, but that's the name I'm using.
Nope.
You'll know it's your story. Here we go. This one's called White Orbs.
Ooh.
Small town in Minnesota. Population, 800. Closest big town, 1,000 population. Was over 40 miles away. That's, both of those aren't big towns. They're both small town, Minnesota. Minnesota.
It was
2015 summer, and we had just graduated high school, and I was moving to Oregon in less than a week or two. I was staying in my neighbor's farmhouse where they lived by giant fields for crops. It was around 3 in the morning and my best friend and I had been sitting at the lake just talking and reminiscing. We went our separate ways and drove home. She lives about 7 miles from the farmhouse. When I got back to the farmhouse, I sat in my car for another 10 minutes or so on my phone before I headed inside and lost service. I stepped out of my car and something flies over my head. I duck and am crouching on the ground by my car. At first, I thought it was a peacock or rooster. It's a farmhouse. But when I look up, it's nothing at all farm-related. In the dark sky above me, about 10 to 15 feet away from me, are these white orbs. The only way I can describe these is from the Scooby-Doo movie when those floating heads shoot all over the place at that spooky island.
I know exactly what they're talking about.
So do I. It's a good descriptor. Okay. Anyways, these white orbs are swooshing around me left and right. I grab my phone to call my friend I was just with. When I pick up my phone, she was already calling me. When I answered, she said she could see northern lights all over the place. It's all green and blue, she said. The white orbs were still swooshing all around me, and they were entering into a little hole in the sky that, when all the other white orbs went into the hole, it formed a perfect circle. And on the other side of the circle, where the orbs were entering, they disappeared out the other end, like as if they went into a portal or a loophole or something. To this day, I have no idea what it was, and I'm the type of person who stargazes, tries to take pictures of the moon, and instead I just walked... Instead, I just walked straight into the house and went to sleep. Didn't tell anyone anything for months and just brushed it off as it must have been the northern lights. But since the incident, I have Googled and come to the conclusion that the inside of the northern lights look like lights touching down from the sky. And this was not that, not even close. I would love to know if anyone else has seen these or if anyone has some answer that can help me grasp what I saw 5 years ago. I retell this story so often and not a single detail flees my memory. Thanks for your time, and I hope some of the other listeners might have had the same experience as I have.
Oh, cool story.
That's from Mel B.
Mysterious orbs.
That's cool. That's a cool story. Zipping around. We have some sort of atmospheric anomaly.
It's pretty.
Especially if you're seeing northern lights in Minnesota. That's not. That doesn't happen all the time.
No, it's crazy. I didn't know that Mel B lived in Minnesota. It's a pretty weird place for a Spice Girl to retire, but... interesting.
Yeah, well, that's cold winter, man.
Yep.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got for this. Oh no, we got some new Patreons. Got those queued up.
Queue them up.
We got Hope Scott, Kevin, Wyatt, Dengus Khan, Jay Pelchier, Jacoby, Peach Bree, Tim Griffith, Mitchell Robbins, Travis Stoico, Joshua Martinez, and Dan.
Dan, are you supporting our own Patreon?
I mean, Dan. Yeah.
We couldn't give Dan the code, so he had to buy his own way in.
Yeah.
I also had a couple 5-star reviews. Should I read one of them?
Yeah, get a couple in there.
All right, hold on.
It's always nice to hear nice things about us.
My page is reloading here.
It's reloading.
Oh, lovely.
Reloading.
I'm only going to read two today.
Boom.
Two.
Great conspiracy theory podcast from Sam R. Squared from the United Kingdom. Always talk about great conspiracy and have loved listening to them for a year or two now. They are always full of laughs and make my traveling much more enjoyable, as well as giving me great food for thought and have encouraged me to thoroughly keep my eyes on the skies.
Oh, yeah.
Another 5-star review. Eyes in the Skies from Chive Got Flushed from the US of A. Nothing like listening to Canadians cracking conspiracies and beers while driving around Oahu all day working, eh?
Oh, dope.
All right, right on.
From Hawaii.
Hawaii.
I think that's how I said it. I'm just.
You got it.
Maybe, what? Making that up, but. Zell, you got any? You got anyone want to read?
No, those are the newest ones. Let's leave it there. That sounds good. We got. This week. I'm changing. I never talked to guys about it, but it's not Zell's theorite of the week. It's now just theorite of the week. Anyone can say it. I'm not the only one who likes people on this podcast. Everyone likes them.
That's not true.
I'm forcing Braden to like a couple people on the podcast.
I like everybody, no matter gender, race, all like everything. Everybody. Just want to make that clear.
Andrew is completely accepting of everybody.
Every race.
And everything. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
Everything.
Yeah. Any type of sentient being from any galaxy, any type, Andrew, however.
Love them.
Anything. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Andrew loves them a lot. An inordinate amount sometimes.
Andrew, you want to give theorite of the week this week?
Yeah. I want to throw out theorite of the week to our buddy Dill. Dill's been...
My brother Dill.
He's been kind of binging on the old episodes lately. He's hooked on them, and he's a good buddy of ours. He's gone through a lot of interesting stuff in life lately, and he's using us to kind of... you know what I mean? Using us as a reprieve and enjoying. So I think it's pretty cool.
A bad accident, a couple other things.
And the guy, honestly, he shouldn't be around, and he still is. It's kind of a miracle.
No. Goddamn warrior.
He's if there's any alpha males, he's an alpha male. Guys, he's just look at him. He's a fucking specimen.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's an absolute beast.
Can't take him out.
Brother Dill, hope you're taking her easy out there, bud.
Cheers, brother.
Miss you. Next time in Kelowna, I'm going to look you up.
Fuck yeah.
Anything else?
No, I managed to do this whole episode without no one making fun of me without my tooth.
It's because you look better. It's way better.
It's because you disabled the camera.
Yeah, it's because we can't see you.
We can't see you.
It was all a ploy. That would
have been the first thing we said.
It was all a ploy.
100% instantly.
That would have been the first 20 nice minutes tooth. Of the podcast.
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you I lost my tooth, but I'll tell you after hours here because we're running pretty long on this one.
All right. So, we're going to talk about the meteor that killed the dinosaurs and Zell's missing tooth. If you want to hear that, jump on our Patreon where you can hear all of our after hours and all of our extended content. I think it's worth it. You get on for as little as $1 a month.
Hope so.
Super cool Discord server. There's lots of fun people in there. And it's
taken off.
I'm always amazed at the amount of stuff that's in there.
Shit's taken off. It's fun.
Oh, my God.
It is fun. Anyways, as we like to say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the sky.
Peace.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.